Full of Sound and Fury is a podcast for adults by adults containing adult language. Listener discretion is advised. Let's just get right to it. Full of Sound and Fury. I'm Cyrus. He's Keyshawn.
No bo, hell yeah.
Our third is not here. Ariel Rodriguez is celebrating his birthday. The big 2-5. Don't laugh. Now they know I'm lying.
Oh, he's with child. He doesn't get to have birthdays anymore.
I guess that's probable.
I didn't know his birthday was this week. Mine is too.
How did you celebrate your big 2-7?
Oh.
Start there as well as anywhere.
So I'm older even in your fiction or fiction. I like.
They know you're the oldest, so I I had to at least add two.
Two. I love it. Hop Dotties. We did Hop Dotties and Chewies. That was my celebration.
Yeah, well, unofficial, unsponsored. Actually, official unsponsored. I said that backwards. Pardon me.
Yes.
So you're taking a nap on this episode? Is that what's going to happen?
Oh, no. That was a few days ago.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's right. Yeah, it's Ariel's birthday. Man, I am. I'm going to start off with a bang.
You want to hit that button, motherfucker?
I'm like the Dallas Cowboys.
Sounds about right.
The second quarter, and then I'll... Let's try this again, rather. You were very excited to do this episode. Lay it on me.
I was. There's so much absurdity going on this week. My feeling is you might be aware of some of it, but let's start with Disney Plus.
So, I, for one, welcome our new mouse overlords.
Yes. Have you already subscribed? Were you one of the 10 million on day one?
No. I did purchase it on Saturday when it became evident that if I wanted to traverse the internet, spoiler free, I needed to like watch The Mandalorian post haste.
Oh, damn right. How many episodes are you caught up?
I'm caught up.
All right, good deal. So we can talk about that too. Excellent.
Yeah, and we're officially going into spoiler territory here in minute 3.
Oh, yes. Well, before we get to The Mandalorian, we really should start with the best thing on Disney Plus right now. Completely unannounced, or I was oblivious. Either way, it was new to me. They came out, and when they released all the Star Wars films, they're all in 4K. Let's all rejoice, because now we have Star Wars in 4K, finally. That's not the exciting part. If you're sitting there going, that's not exciting to me, you're right. That isn't the exciting part. The exciting part, have you watched?
Well, you're right. I'm over here not excited.
Good.
Pray continue.
Have you watched any of the originals or heard about it?
Since Disney Plus?
Yes.
Plused it, I guess. I know that once again, Han and Greedo is the scene that cannot be left alone.
Oh no, it's perfected. It's perfected now. Imagine, go with me, Jimbo. That Da Vinci years later had an opportunity to correct the Mona Lisa, and he'd been pining for it. And he just couldn't quite figure out what the magic stroke was. And then he finally...
You mean like 10 years later, he's like, oh man, this woman looks like a dude. I got to fix this.
Yeah, I've got to fix this. I really need to put my master stroke on this for it to be complete before. And he comes in one day and there's a junior artist working in the office. And he slams his hand down on the junior artist's desk and says, by God, I've got it. I need you to do this right here. This is the stroke. Do it. And the junior artist who, you know, it's just shaking his head, just, oh, Jesus, the old man's back in here. He asks his other supervisors, no one is going to tell Da Vinci no. And so he goes ahead, against his better judgment, and against all of their better judgment, they go ahead and they put this one master stroke, and it's a Hitler mustache on the Mona Lisa. And one brush stroke, and Da Vinci clenches his fist in the air in defiance of God and says, yes, this is it. Now, that's what's happened with the Han and Greedo scene. If the level, Weird Al could not have come up with anything as good as now.
And by good, you mean terrible.
I mean so terrible, it's good. Like a really good Mel Brooks movie that just puts the perfect thing in there. And you look and go, this makes no sense. And at that moment, it makes perfect sense. Lucas did. Was, if you remember the conversation, it goes, and it's around minute 55, I think, in the movie, and I say this, it's either 45 or 55, because it's been a couple days, but I watched it about 75 times, and I laughed harder every time. And I brought my children in and sat them down and had them watch it, and they laughed harder every time. And I brought my wife in, and she looks at me, and she's like, why? And I said, exactly. Because, and then she starts laughing at it. The conversation, Greedo says to Han, you'll be lucky if Jabba just takes your ship. And Han famously is like over, you know, he was just picking at the ceiling, you know, and he leans forward, looks at it, says over my dead body as his other hands reaching down underneath, you know, get his gun. And Greedo goes, that's the idea. I've been waiting a long time for this, Solo. And then Han Solo says famously, I bet you have. Now, 1977, at that moment, Han Solo shot Greedo. Roughly 1997, maybe, or 99 or something?
98.
Yeah, okay, 98. Greedo then shoots Han first. Then in roughly 2001, 2002... then they kind of...
No, I apologize. 97, the 20th anniversary. I'm the worst. Yeah. Go ahead.
So, and then they edited it again years later to have it where it looks like it's kind of close, at least, where Han and Greedo almost shoot at the exact same time, and then they somehow digitally grab Han's head and yank it to the right. Now, all of those have been brushed aside for what is the perfect masterstroke to finish once and for all.
Terry Tate, Cantina linebacker.
Oh, yeah. So Greedo, you know, says his famous line, you know, I've been waiting for this for a long time, Solo. And Han Solo says, I bet you have. Then it cuts back to Greedo, and his little schnoz that he talks out of shoots up in the air and yells, McClunky! And then Han Solo shoots him.
And what was the translation of that word?
McClunky.
Or is that someone's pronoun?
McClunky. You know what? Good question. All good questions. McClunky. And I can't do it justice. I try, but nothing can do justice to watching it and the proper tone. You know, they had to get a voice artist to come in, and they had to digitally do the voice. They had to digitally remake the little schnoz. They had to do all this stuff. Oh, and I forgot to add, this was all done in 2011 before George sold it to Disney.
Of course.
Which, you know, prior to the first episode of this podcast, when George sold it. He obviously, you know, had a squad of people that had to work night and day to get McClunky in there. And it's as absurd as you could possibly imagine. To just watch it and just go, after nearly 20 years of debate, this is the brushstroke that George Lucas finally put on the entire debacle, was McClunky. And then for the next day, I and my family started wondering, well, what other films would be, you know, great lines from films would be improved with just a random McClunky.
Well, obviously, Gone with the Wind's ending is where my mind went first.
Yes. My wife went with Life is Like a Box of McClunky. You never know what you're going to get. My son was You Shall Not McClunky. Let's see. What other ones have we had? My youngest has just yelled McClunky randomly at different times throughout the day. And he's really just exploring the art form. You know. He's now six, and he's really exploring the space with it. And, just, you know, at any given moment, Daddy, I feel like I'm going to...
Become like a mantra for him.
Oh, yeah. Yippee-ki-yay, McClunky. That would have been a great one.
I'd pay good money to have Jimmy Stewart say McClunky.
I'll... I'll give him an offer. He can't McClunky. You can really go all day just staring
at
him coming up with lines.
Okay, but before we do that, setting that aside for a moment, like, what was the intention here? Like, do we know what Lucas was going for with this line?
See, this is what
was it a prayer to like some strange Greedo god that we're aware of?
McClunky.
Is it like the space F word? I don't know.
I think it stands alone. I don't think it needs any support nor rationale.
No, I'm gonna disagree with you there. I think I need answers. Was that the bartender?
I think it was the kid. Greedo's sled when he was a child.
Yeah. Okay. Some weird shit.
That's the more you think about it, the worse it gets. It's a hole that you just go into and you can't get out. Please, when this podcast is over, first of all, there's already whole websites dedicated to McClunky. You can buy a shirt.
No, I'm telling you, I bet that's the bartender. He was going to get another beer before he shot him.
Yeah, and what better way to sneakily shoot Han Solo than
it was Space Cheers. His first name, his full name is Sam McClunky. All right, so how's the app working for you? You digging it?
Oh,
outside of McClunky here.
There's some frustration. I have a Sony television, and apparently they don't want to play. I can't run it natively on my Sony TV, so I'm watching it. You know, my computer runs through my television, so I watch it through there. And that seems to work okay. Looks gorgeous. And it's got a lot of content when you have kids. Boy, you know, you can have that and nothing else. I signed up for the package with Hulu and ESPN Plus. ESPN Plus is an abomination. There's no good reason to have that.
Oh, that's good to know. I was thinking about it and did not, because I was thinking, this is a great deal, but this is more television than I watch.
Do you have a hankering for hockey?
No, I do soccer. And in a couple of years, ESPN Plus does get EPL. So, yeah, you're right. It's early days for ESPN Plus, but I think in a year or two, that might be worthwhile.
Maybe.
NFL Primetime is on it. So if you just need Boomer in your life and Tej.
Oh, Lord.
And I kind of do.
Then there's the Hulu that comes with it. That's mm-hmm. that's okay. So between Netflix, Hulu.
Can I share a pro tip?
Yeah.
So as mostly advertised, it's an ad-free. It's the ad-full version, rather, of Hulu. Uh-huh. However, if you get Hulu first, the premium ad-less version, and then you add Disney Plus, you still get the benefit minus the...
Oh.
Yeah. That's my hot tip.
Nice. You're helping America. So second thing. Now, we're going into a different genre we don't talk about a lot, which is 90s rap. Or we haven't talked about it in a long time. 80s and 90s rap.
Actually. I assume you mean 1990 rap, specifically.
Almost. 1989.
I'll allow it.
But Biz Markie and a number of other artists made an album in 1988, 89 time. Then there was a riot in Atlanta where they recorded it. During the riot, people broke into and destroyed the studio where the masters were held for this album. And so they were lost. I don't know if they were like believed to be destroyed or stolen or exactly what, but about a year ago, they found them and they put them back together and released it as an album called 1989, I believe, or 1988. I'm
not sure. Okay, 1989 is by Taylor Swift.
Yeah. Well, it's got a fuller to it. I've just got to find it. It's called Top Shelf 1988. Top Shelf, 1988. It has got some old school goodness on it. I mean, old school. It even qualifies as old school. And the Biz Markie song is absolutely priceless.
And it's on Disney Plus?
No. This is just a song that came out.
Okay.
I'm just talking about old hotness coming in a new package. So it's new, but it's old. Kind of like Star Wars. And, so this is the second thing that was awesome that I discovered in the last month or so. was this new Biz Markie song. And then lastly, have you heard about the surge in popularity in proposal parties and gender reveal parties and gender reveal videos and things like this? Have you heard about all this?
No, it sounds terrifying and incredibly awkward.
Oh, it's wonderful. It is all those things. So people have been going more and more extreme to do these big gender reveal parties. Some people tried to make like a firework that would explode and be the colors of, you know, pink or red or blue if it's a boy. And they built the firework too big and killed somebody. And then another gender reveal party hired a plane to fly low over their party and release 300 gallons of pink water as part of the announcement. And when the plane released the water, the weight change caused the plane to stall and crash right over the party. Fortunately for that one, no one died on the plane. But this shit is getting stupider and stupider. So that brings me to my birthday night. And on my birthday night, lo and behold, I came across what has to be the greatest gender reveal video of all time. And it's not like many a gender reveal party. Have you heard about this?
No, but I just figured out what McClunky means.
Okay. Before I get to the gender reveal, tell me in America what McClunky.
Oh, you didn't get my joke. Damn it. That was Greedo's gender reveal party.
Oh, McClunky. It's all brought to you. Oh, okay.
You certainly are.
It's green.
It's green down there too.
Mm-hmm. So, this video, there's a woman. She's laying on the floor on her belly. She's got on kind of like a white top. And she's bare-ass naked from the waist below. She's laying on the floor, and someone's obviously holding a camera on her. She's kind of staring, not so much at the camera as kind of into the middle distance. And so she's face kind of laying stomach down on the floor. You can kind of see the crack of her butt, and she's kind of kicking her feet. And you see these blue and red pink balloons behind her in the back. As she's laying there, she kind of does this little look, just this little flinch of her nose. And then you hear and a puff of blue smoke shoots out of her ass. All of a sudden, they're screaming and the camera pans and all these women are cheering. It's a boy! It's a boy! And they're all dancing and hugging and happy. One of them's holding a dog. They're jumping all over the place. This woman farted a blue puff of smoke to announce to the world that her child was going to be a boy. And when I saw this, my mind collapsed onto itself. And you start asking yourself questions.
No, you don't. You close the laptop.
No, you don't.
You calmly pick it up and you throw it in the fire. That's the response to that.
It is the end of the world as we know it.
Next question.
I'm pretty sure, you know.
I did not know. I listened to that whole story not knowing what a gender reveal party was.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
I thought this was a new AGE LBQT plus thing.
No. Thoroughly held on to by...
Now do you get my Greedo joke?
Obviously, this wasn't going on when I was procreating. So this is something that's happened relatively
recently. I think people have always passed gas.
No. Look. This woman, think about it. If it's a surprise to her, that means someone else got the powder, got the dye, mixed it together, knowing what the child was, not telling the parents, not telling the friends. put it all together, somehow secreted it up this lady's ass. Shh, 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 shh. Just hold on there. Hang on. Hang on. We're gonna get it up in there. All right, be still. then after doing that, first of all, before doing that, did she prep for this? Did she tell her friend? Was it like a party where she warned everybody, come over, I'm going to fart, and we're going to find out what the baby is? Did she load up on Mexican
You know what the baby is? Disappointed in its mother.
Oh, you got to get the friends over. Did she?
Of course.
Did she come out naked and lay down and have it done to her? Or did she have it done somewhere else and then like waddle over to the floor and lay down? Or was she there on the floor when her friends got there? And they all had to stand around. Because I'm sure that it just wasn't fart on command. It was, they had to wait a bit. It's because the friends, like, they're holding drinks. They're standing around in kind of an apartment-type living room. Hardwood floor, just in case you're wondering, trying to get the picture. There she is, laying on the floor. And this look of, you finally realize she's trying to fart. But she's kind of staring into space, and you can see her face so clearly with today's cameras, and there's a spectrum of different emotions that go across this woman's face. And then all these people that have stood there for who knows how long watching this, you don't see the father. I'm presuming it might have been the father, but it doesn't have to be, that's holding the camera. Somebody's holding the camera. And all these women are just cheering up a storm. No one, not a one of them, is remarking or even looking like, what the hell are we looking at? Not a one of them. They're all rejoicing. And how in the world that you could do this and find a group of friends that are so tight that they would partake in this shit? I don't know or understand it at all. So I had two big things like this that just neither one of them made any sense to me. I watched both of them repeatedly while I'm listening to my Biz Markie song. That was my birthday evening. That's why I'm going through all these.
You had a week. I guess a night.
I had a night. It was, if we could have done the podcast then, you wouldn't have gotten anything for, I was laughing so hard it hurt. Because every time you stop and take a breath and try, and your brain tries to make sense of the world, you can't stop it. Mine does, at least. Maybe you're able to not do that, but I couldn't stop. It was just going down a rabbit hole. I couldn't get out of it.
At the cornhole.
Oh yeah, right up the cornhole. Right down the cornhole.
Precisely.
So this is the second one. You need to get online.
Yeah, I do not endorse this action.
No. No one should endorse this. This woman,
just, all right.
This woman should be stopped. it's all going to be downhill from here for that kid. There's nothing
no, it's, be better yeah. than that.
That kid's going to be around in 10 years. People don't know who his mother is. He's going to have to move. Change his name.
Okay.
The kind of sigh I was looking for right there.
20 minutes we went on that.
I could go another 40.
Yeah, apparently you watched a lot. That's just weird.
And I can't tell you which one's weirder, McClunky or Farting Mama.
No, it's definitely the other one.
McClunky?
No. No, McClunky is just George Lucas being stupid about this thing and fucking up yet again.
You need to see it, though. It's stupider. All the other stuff, you could construct an argument for his other edits that, like, okay, he didn't want Han being a cold-blooded murder. Oh, it was, want to make Greedo go first and blah, blah, blah. Oh, the old Jabba scene works well if you have a new digital Jabba. And then they made a bad digital Jabba, so then they improved the digital Jabba. And then, oh, we've got the capability of adding, making the city look more like a city. And for Tatooine, and you can construct some rationale for every edit. This one, I can't. There's There's just no reason I can fathom why McClunky. Just even if it means something, it's not going to mean anything to anyone.
Yeah, but I got to tell you, all that acknowledged and aside, that second story you told is way more bizarre.
I don't know.
She invited a group of friends, family, and general well-wishers to behold her ass as she broke wind as a way to announce the coming of life.
Yeah, sure did.
That's bizarre.
The only thing that
the first thing is bad filmmaking, man.
The only thing that could make more sense of that if she looked right at the camera and said "Roll Tide," that would have been perfect.
Yeah, that's where my head went first of all. Like, this has got to be an Alabama thing.
Oh man, or Florida,
South Alabama. Yeah.
Think about it. I mean, just you can hear the news article now. Florida woman farts baby announcement.
Oh boy.
Yeah. So anyway, I'll send you that video. I'll see if I can lay hands on it.
Okay, I am going to delete it immediately, but I thank you anyway.
Okay, so what you're telling me is I have to like send it from every different angle possible. Twitter, Gmail, send you like a blank VHS tape with it on.
Yep, you're right. That's the only two modes of communication in the world anymore. Nailed it.
Oh, actually, I could just play it on my computer and then hold this up to it and turn on the video and then force it upon you. That would end the podcast real quick.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was Thursday.
That's quite a Thursday.
That was quite a Thursday. Then we watched Mandalorian, but we're early in the series. What are your thoughts so far? I've been talking a lot.
I like it. I think it has a 100% approval rating. It looks like everybody likes it. It's not great. I wouldn't go that far. I think it's probably being overpraised because we're so starved for decent Star Wars.
I think you're right.
But it is really good. It's funny. High production value. I think the cute character was a really smart choice. Favreau wins again.
Are we going to spoil?
Oh, yeah. For those who sat through that, your Thursday night and are still with us, we spoiled tagged this like half an hour ago.
we got to clear out all the lesser fans and get the hardcore fans are the only ones that have remained through that.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on in someone's life. They stuck with us this long. But I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Isn't that the truth? I love Mandalorian. I think you're hitting the nail right on the head. I'll leave the jury out if it's great or not, because I think it's only season one, episode two so far. So I like the start of it. Good, the bad, the ugly vibe, you know, Sergio Leone, those movies are classics. And I feel like it's gone right down that genre. I feel like it's the best thing since Rogue One.
For me, it's the best thing since The Force Awakens.
Ah, see, my Force Awakens still is tainted by Episode 8, so I've got to wait and see if they can pull that one out of the crapper.
Well, to me, they're distinct entities. So.
Well, I don't know. I kind of lump all of the new movies together. But, you know, Rogue One's kind of its own thing, same as Solo. And
mm-hmm.
So this is more of a genre piece like Rogue One was. As opposed to like right smack down the Star Wars vibe, but it gives me hope because okay, all the pressure's on the Star Wars movies to like tell this Skywalker saga, and they've obviously so far fucked that up. So when they've gone away from that, you get something like Rogue One and Solo, and this, I'm really enjoying them. And honestly, it feels much more like Star Wars than the new movies do. They're dirty, they're broken, they're you know, kind of westerny, you know. All of that vibe is what I've always thought of Star Wars. So to me, it feels much more based in that realm than the new movies do.
Rogue One has never sat well with me because of all the inconsistencies in tone caused by the post-production shift and what they wanted that movie to be. It's got some good stuff in it, but it was clearly darker than the studio felt comfortable with in its initial cut. And the retrofit just doesn't work, I think. I think that's why I'm not as bullish on it as you are.
To be fair, I don't know which parts were fit in and which parts weren't. Coming at it like it's all one piece, and I dig the hell out of it.
Yeah. The characters just make some very curious choices in that film.
Yeah.
I unfortunately don't remember off the top of my head where our deep dive episode, but
right.
Probably no need to revisit in depth.
Right, right.
But yeah, no, it does feel very Star Wars-y. And yeah. It's probably far away my favorite thing that hasn't featured the Jedi at all. Although, yeah. Who knows if that's going to stay the same. So.
Well, you saw episode 2.
I did.
Man, I'm absolutely blown away. I'm going to call it Yoda Baby for lack of a name and lack of a species. So even though...
Fascinating that he doesn't have one, right?
Right.
That's weird.
It wasn't allowed in 40 years, 30 years, however long it's been.
Yeah.
That bare boating. No books, no comics. One, they had Yaddle in episode 1. That's it. Do you remember Yaddle?
I do. I do vaguely. Okay. Mm-hmm. But you're right. That I and at the time I didn't realize that was the only other reference to from whence Yoda came, so to speak.
Yeah.
That's about This is what we discovered the other night watching the second episode.
Yeah, and even Yaddle, you know, after they did that, they literally yanked that character, never spoke of it again. Didn't have a story, a book, nothing I'm aware of that ever alluded to it again.
You would be the guy to ask. Do we know why this is the case?
Other than to keep the mystique around Yoda. That's what I'd read.
That is that substantiated or just a really solid guess?
I can't remember if it was substantiated or not.
Okay. And that's fine. I
read that ages ago. That's like, this is an old conversation. You know, 5-10 years before, pre-sequels. So it's been a long time, but that was my understanding even back then. Man, forever, you know, that's one of the first questions, you know, with redoing anything after the original 3 was, you know, what's Yoda? I mean, from the 90s on, and that was a subject that no one was allowed to get close to. I mean, none. There's been 100 books. None of them have touched it. Every little piece of Yoda anything that would come out was so carefully doctored. I mean, just, you get little sniffs, but nothing of any meat because they were all so sensitive of George Lucas's take on Yoda. Cannot believe. That just staggered me when I saw that shot at the end of the movie, end of the first episode. I'm enjoying the episodes. Oh, something else, since we're talking spoilers and I'm a geek. When the Mandalorian first meets with the Empire, now, we're assuming it's the Empire. There's stormtroopers in the room, but the stormtroopers' armor doesn't look all that great. And remember, the Empire's been shut down because this is around the end of Return of the Jedi, or a little after.
5 years later.
Is it 5 years after?
And that's official. So these are probably these stormtroopers are probably gone mercenary.
Oh,
that was my read.
I'll be damned. Well, I don't know if they're mercenary. I don't think they're mercenary. I think it's still the Empire. I think it's the remnants of the Empire. Not that it's the formal Empire, but they're a piece of it, at least. And part of me, the reason why I say that, is because when the Mandalorian comes in the room, everybody's being real cautious, and then that younger doctor comes in. Remember?
Sure.
And he comes stumbling in the room, Mandalorian pulls out his gun, all stormtroopers pull out their guns, they're all aiming at him. If you go back and watch it, and I caught this the third watch through it, but look at the doctor's arm, and on his shoulder, there's a patch. If you've ever played, I can't read or speak Chinese or Japanese. There's two little kind of vertical lines.
you mean the number 11?
Kind of like the number 11.
Okay.
We play Mahjong, and it's the two little vertical lines that look like 11. That's what they look like.
Okay.
Those two, and the only reason why I know this is because back in the day when the prequels were coming out, I was so into the prequels and so into all the minutiae of the prequels that this leapt out at me. If this, if it weren't, but for the fact that this is old school knowledge, not new, you know, anything new school, I'm not aware of. But the old school, when I was thick into it, this was right down that alley, because it's the same symbol that's on all the Daniel Logans when they're inside that big room and Obi-Wan is looking at all the clones and they're all doing like homework. The kids are like in a, like a school setting on Kamino. That's the patch on all of the clones. And so my bet, this isn't confirmed, but I'm strongly betting that that someone, likely the Empire, those are cloners and they want to clone the baby.
Can they clone a dead creature?
Is the baby dead?
No, but that he was instructed that alive if possible, dead was okay.
But remember, the doctor said that's not what we agreed to. The clone doctor wants them. I think it's the Empire, because I think the Empire would be fine with killing it if they can't clone it and make their own.
Okay.
That would be my bet.
Hmm.
I think that's what's going on, but we're in the realm of conjecture. But I know that patch is the same. I also thought it was absolutely spectacular to see the same species of Salacious Crumb being roasted alive and another one waiting for his turn.
Oh, yes.
I love that. I assume that was a gift for us old fans.
A lot of food jokes there in general.
Let's see. What else was awesome? I do keep on, you know, it just brings out my old geek that, you know, has been dead and dormant for a while. But I go, how come he doesn't have the little antenna on his helmet? Because a lot of the other ones do. And it makes it I geek out. And I'm just like, well, did he not like the antenna? Or can he not afford the antenna? Because you can tell that Beskar's significant part of that metal is a significant part of the story. But
are you not familiar with Beskar?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, from the show.
Okay. I was about to say, surely you don't. You must know this if I know it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm curious that he only has a couple of pieces of Beskar, like one on his thigh. I think his helmet's made of it, and I think now he's got a right shoulder pauldron. The other pieces, I think they're making a point of showing all the other pieces are easily destroyed and torn up, but that Beskar looks just as shiny as when he got it, you know?
Right.
I keep loving that little detail. I love that. Everything else is falling apart. Oh, and then the Jawas. Oh, it was everything I ever wanted. I could watch that 10 minutes over and over like I'm a kid again. That little maniacal giggle. Boy, they nailed that.
Yeah, that really worked.
Well, you know, you didn't see a whole... You got a bit of Jawas, but not a lot. You know, just a little taste 40 years ago. This is really the first visual that I can remember, the first visual, like, really getting them on the screen since. Am I wrong? And it's like they just nailed it. They nailed it. They're, you know, they're a danger and a menace and a nuisance and hysterical all at the same time. And that was really good. Well done. And then Nick Nolte. By God, is he perfect or what?
It's pretty great.
Now, is he supposed to be an Ugnaught?
I don't know. I discovered earlier this year that my Star Wars lore is poor.
So, if you remember, when Han Solo's on Bespin, and they're going to freeze him in carbonite, and there's these little pig-looking men that are running around, and 3PO's...
Okay, sure.
Those little pig-looking men... Those are Ugnaughts, and I think that's what Nick Nolte's character is, but I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, I don't know.
What I'm also struggling with is, and we're only on episode 2, so I'll wait, but at least for this snapshot in time, when you look at all the marketing and stuff, and it shouldn't surprise me, but the marketing has that IG-88, the battle droid, or not a battle droid, the bounty hunted droid. It's got a woman on there. You know, it's got Nick Nolte's character. And, you know, that's kind of like those are the stars of the show. But they killed the robot in episode 1. And so I'm kind of going, all right, are they going to bring him back? Or was that it? Is that, you know, that
it could have been an intentional misdirect.
You're right. That's fair. And again, Star Wars is known for marketing a bunch of, you know, pieces that just for toys and nothing else. At the same time, I was kind of hopeful that, I mean, I really enjoyed that droid constantly thinking the end was near and trying to kill us.
Yeah, we laughed pretty hard about that as well.
Oh, that was great. Just, that was perfect. That was, I thought of you. I thought of the, you know, you're my own personal 3PO. We're doomed. Except it was like the next step, which is, all right, I'm going to kill myself. Initiating self-destruct sequence. Don't stop. They got us surrounded. I'm initiating my self-destruct. That was so good.
This is not what I ordered. I'm initiating self-destruct. Right. I said no lettuce.
Right. I mean, that was a great gag. It was a great gag.
Yep.
And I loved it. I love that. And that's what you ought to have Star Wars for, that you can fit little subtle, you know, that's not overly subtle, but it's subtle. It's not a straight gag. It was just the right amount. I love that. That was great.
He really understood the right tone.
Boy, he did. He's already filming the second season.
Oh, is he? Oh, that's good. That's great to know.
Yeah, it was greenlit before Disney Plus came out. Obviously, people watched this shit and were just like, yep.
That's great, because, you know, the last couple times it's been like, oh, no. Someone get Ron on the phone.
Right. Yep. Oh, and...
Or, so you made Full Metal Jacket. Okay, interesting. Not quite what we were looking for.
Right. Now.
But it's okay. We'll fix it in post.
Yep. Yep. The Game of Thrones guys have gone away.
I heard that.
What are your thoughts on that?
Good riddance to bad rubbish.
Okay. That's kind of what I thought. It took.
I'm pretty angry with it, with what they did this year.
I am too, because... Yeah, I could almost understand.
Not like mad at Tom Herman mad, but pretty close.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. I can understand going, okay, I'm going to drop the ball on all this because I get to go to do the dream trilogy of Star Wars movies. That's the pinnacle. Yeah, we're going to get out of this stuff quick. We're going to crank out these shows faster than they ought to be by a factor of two at least. And we're going to jump over to Star Wars. But to find out that they weren't jumping over to Star Wars, they're actually jumping over to Netflix, and they weren't even doing... So they half-assed Game of Thrones. They were not even half-assing Star Wars, and they're doing another third Netflix series, and that's the one that they're opting for. And I'm just like, boy, that Netflix series better be fucking amazing for you to take two of the biggest properties and bork it for both of them.
Yeah, so, I don't know. You lost me at your central thesis there, the idea that they would do that. If I'm in that situation, I hand it off. Yeah, that's what a responsible storyteller does.
Oh, no.
If you don't have time to do Thrones because you really desperately want to do Star Wars, that's okay.
Yes.
But you pass the baton.
Oh, I'm
you don't light the baton on fire and say, hey, what do you think? It's pretty good, right? Okay, bye bye.
Yeah, right. I figure they're obligated to finish that, and so if they like a contract, they couldn't hand it off. They should. I completely agree. They should have handed it off instead of doing what they did. But I presume they had a contract, and so they were required to do what they did.
No, I can refute that immediately.
Yeah,
HBO was pushing them to make more. They wanted more They wanted more seasons of Game of Thrones.
Oh,
they had the leverage to say no. We're gonna do just like George, which is not like George because he hasn't written the damn things. But we're gonna do just like George and go seven and out.
Well, hang on though. What I'm saying is they had a contractual obligation to finish the series, is what I'm hypothesizing. Not that they were contractually obligated to finish it in 17 or 7. Just that the contract said that they had to be the ones to finish it.
If that's the case, and you're HBO, don't you then let them out of the contract and give it to someone else?
I would presume so. That's where I blame HBO too. They fucked up and HBO fucked up. Both of them fucked up. But I'm presuming that HBO fucked up by not doing that. And since they were required to finish it, they finished it in 6 fucking episodes. which, you know,
how sad is it that's like the best case scenario?
Right, exactly. It's shitty all the way around.
Yeah, I don't know.
The only thing that I could get my head around doing something that shitty was if you're offered a trilogy of Star Wars movies. Like, what would I do in that situation? Okay, I wouldn't crap the bed. I would try and, like, hand off the ball and not fuck it up like that is what I would personally try and do if I lived in the perfect world where I got to go make Star Wars movies.
Wouldn't you assume if you're this guy, you're one of two men that are helming the most popular television series in the world and you've been offered Star Wars, don't you don't really think Lucasfilm was like, you know what, take an extra year to get...
I don't know.
Like, where was the time sensitivity coming in here from?
I have no idea. I have no clue. I don't get it. There's nothing, you're right. Every question you're asking is spot on. I don't disagree. But the only thing I'm saying is that the only fathomable thing is if you're offered a Star Wars trilogy. I mean, that's...
I got you. That's the girl that makes you rethink your girlfriend. I got you. I know. I understand what you're saying, but...
There you go. But then to find out that you didn't leave for the girl that makes you rethink your girlfriend, you left for a Doberman pincher. You know? Just a dog. A dog. And you left both. You left the... your hot girlfriend.
For the listeners, Keyshawn, not a dog person.
No. You left your hot girlfriend. You left the smoking hot model, and you went dog.
So what you're saying is they ran past Daisy Duke, and they got in the car with Flash.
Yeah.
To go way back in the Wayback Machine.
Whoa. Yeesh. Man, yeah, that's a metaphor. Right,
and Catherine Vaughn is like, what the hell just happened?
Oh, man. Yeah, so, again, that's what I was trying. I don't understand. I mean, there's obviously things are afoot that are beyond my kid. I cannot figure it out. I do not know. You know, if they were to just look dead in the eye and just go McClunky, you know, it'd make just as much sense.
So here's my question to you. Now that we're both 40-year-old men, are we just old? Is this why we don't understand this? Or are there other people on the internet going like, what the hell is happening?
I think everybody's going, what the hell's happening? Okay,
I'm just checking.
I don't think we're doing something novel here. And if anything, at least 40-year-olds can appreciate the subtleties of contract negotiation. At 20, we would give a fuck, you know? At 40, we can talk about why they don't have the antenna on the Mandalorian's helmet. And then in the same 5 minutes...
But I mean, you know what?
A contract negotiation.
You know why there's no antenna, though, right?
No, I really don't.
Because kids wouldn't know what that is.
Boy, we're going to go down a hole here. I called it an antenna because it looks like an antenna. My understanding is that in the Star Wars universe, it actually means that he doesn't have to turn around. He can see 360 degrees. It's a.
Oh.
What's Microsoft's virtual reality set? It's like one of those. But it's
360. I don't know. That's bad.
Have you not heard about Microsoft's HoloLens?
I had not. I knew they assumed they were making one.
I think we talked a couple years ago about this. You can search it up on Google. You really need to, in case you've forgotten, because it is a fucking amazing piece of hardware that they've built. And you can buy one. And there's not a lot of software for it yet. And they're continually upgrading. I think there's a new upgrade coming. But like, they did a stage demonstration with it that'll blow your fucking mind. And you can watch it. They actually put a equivalent of a HoloLens on the camera, so you can see the same thing that the guy on stage is seeing. Now, you know, everyone else is standing there looking at an empty stage. That guy's standing there and he's looking like a three-dimensional, he's got windows hanging on the wall and that like television screen that he can grab and move and hang on his wall and like play a giant 3D Minecraft right there in front of him. You know, imagine doing D&D in a virtual reality set where we're all standing around a blank table and you're looking at mountains and characters running on it and all that kind of stuff. It's that good. Anyway,
we're one step closer to the Oasis. In other words,
yes. And okay. It's a thoroughly good step.
Good for them.
Yeah, it's awesome. But Boba Fett's had one on his helmet for nigh 40 years. That lore's been there for nearly as long. It's not an antenna for talking. It's for seeing all the way around himself. It's like a tactical thing. So anyway, that's why I'm like, well, I wonder why he doesn't have one. I saw the other ones have it. My wife and I were actually talking about going back and trying to pick out all the good Mandalorian-centric episodes in the latter seasons of Clone Wars and anything that alludes to it in Rebels, and watching those again just to refresh our memories on a lot of the background. I think there are some books, too, but I'm not sure. Karen Travis wrote some great stuff, but then they took all of it and threw that right out the door. That broke my heart.
I think I heard about that, actually.
That was heartbreaking because, man, she wrote some great shit. And then they stepped all over it for what they wanted to do with the Mandalorians. I keep on suspecting that as we wrap up with the sequel trilogy, that some of the, even watching this show, there's a little taste of, I think they might still try and bring it back around to what she was doing with it. Because she had a kind of a very regimented hierarchy that she built up completely on her own. And boy, could she write. Of course, they scrapped all of it, but I think now they're kind of taking that Mandalorian stuff that they built on their side when they scrapped hers, and they're bringing it back around. Not fully, but kind of meshing them. Taking it back both. And that excites me. That would be, the more like Karen Travis's stuff, the better. You get a sense of it like with the armorer, you know, and you see all the kids running with the helmets and stuff like that, that they're obviously, at least it looks to me like it's kind of like a scattered group that recovering from, they weren't purged as bad as the Jedi, but they were hit pretty bad. And you know who's playing the Mandalorian, right?
Pedro Pascal.
Yeah, I love that guy.
What else has he been in?
Game of Thrones. He had his head squished.
That's right, he's the Viper. That's right, thank you.
Yeah, he got his head crushed. And he was in Kingsman, Secret Service. Did you ever watch those?
No, I need to. I haven't.
Oh, add that to the list.
You know what? This is a good segue. Because I've been meaning to ask this for a while. What's the best thing that isn't from Marvel Studios or Star Wars related that you've seen in a while? Like a good movie. I feel like I know there's stuff like that out there. I just feel like we sometimes neglect it.
Joker was amazing.
Okay.
Did you see it?
Still kind of a superhero flick, but no, I haven't seen it.
Oh my God, man. You need to see it. Taxi Driver. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. It's, those are the two. If you take those and mix them together, that's the genre. And I haven't seen any other. Kind of like, I love, you know, a lot of the movies are your, you know, kind of the latest and greatest superhero fare. I get it. But there are a couple that go into their own realm. Captain America First Avenger was kind of a World War II type movie. It had hero elements, obviously. Winter Soldier, and how much it was like the French Connection, you know? And that.
Sure. You remember that? Marvel Studios actually is not that good at what you're describing. They do it, but they flavor their superhero films with these other genres. That's Joker, and I would throw out 20th Century Fox's Logan or more what you're talking about, though.
Yeah, Logan.
Like, they use the character, but they're really telling a very different kind of story.
Yes, yes. And, man, Joker, nothing comes close to how serious that Joker movie is.
That's cool.
It is not a superhero movie that's flavored. It is a flavored movie with a hint, a sniff of superhero thrown on. If they weren't calling him the Joker, you could still watch this movie and just be like, Jesus, Harold, this is a dark fucking movie.
I still hold that's why The Dark Knight is so good. You can remove those IP characters out of there and just tell them with like a PI and a DA and a commissioner and a serial killer, and that movie's still fucking awesome.
Yeah, you're right. And that's the Joker to a T. But it's not a fucking awesome like superhero movies. It's a fucking awesome like when you watch One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, you know, and it's just like a riveting tale of mania and psychological damage, you know, and how everyone, even the good guys, they're all damaged. That is to a T what that Joker movie is.
I will rectify that as soon as I can then. You
got to.
You're the second person to hard sign on this thing. I watched a lot of sports in October. Yeah. And that's why I'm behind on shit.
Well, man, if he doesn't win Best Actor for that, I haven't seen anything else, and I've caught as much as I can this year.
I mean, we're living in a post-Rami Malek one for Freddie Mercury world. Everything is on the table as far as I'm concerned.
Well, the director ought to get at least a best writer, if not best director nod for it, too. It's ridiculous. It is utterly unbelievable. You come out of it, and it ain't a feel-good movie. Not at all.
It was the reception was fascinating to me because it was being debated intensely a week before it came out.
Yeah.
Because of that really was super disappointing, but
yeah, but I think so much of I've gotten this sounds like I'm becoming more of a Texan than I mean to, but I'm not really trusting of a lot of movie reviews anymore just because it feels like it's become a solid bitch fest about anything and everything until the audiences prove them wrong.
A critique with a capital C is in crisis, and I'm trying to figure out why. Because I really enjoy good critique, and I feel like about 5 years ago, we had a golden age of it. And then I don't know, maybe just social media kind of changed the way that we...
Yes.
That we imbibe this kind of stuff, and maybe that's why it broke, but... And you can pick any part of pop culture. Music reviews are awful. Sports analysis is terrible.
Yes.
I feel like I'm watching different games than these assholes.
Yeah. And that, more than anything, is where, is it because I'm 40? Is that what happened?
I don't know. There's just something to this outrage culture right now where people kind of get off on being hurt.
Yeah, and a
gotcha. And so they want to look for reasons to be upset.
Yeah, and a gotcha culture too, where it's like, you know, anything that they can jump on and criticize just for the sake of criticism, not necessarily if it's legitimate criticism, just to be criticized. It's and it becomes that's the conversation. Oh, the conversation focuses on the criticism and is this blah blah blah, blah, all of that.
And don't you? I maybe this is where we're old. I remember when that one guy was Stephen A. Smith, and I could just turn him off.
Yes.
And now it's everybody.
Yeah, right.
Steve, I mean, I get that was his shtick to just say controversial things to see if he could make any argument for it.
Right.
But that's everybody now.
Pretty much. But it means that I can't like pick up on what the discussion is and trust that's the right take. It might have been 5 years ago where the general consensus conversation, at least, if it wasn't consensus, at least you could tell what the conversation was. Now it's I get why there's a debate around that movie because nobody makes movies like that anymore. Those movies were made in the 70s where it's dark and it is not rosy at all. It is downright it's a spotlight on the all that can go wrong in the human soul.
We're going to get more of that too before it gets better.
Well, I don't know that. I mean,
because the last time we saw stuff like this, like you said, is the 70s. And that's because we were a very wounded nation for a lot of different reasons in that same time period.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that's where you start getting darker, grittier type explorations of things. And boy, this is right down that alley. If his name wasn't the Joker, you'd just be watching a story kind of like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest or Taxi about how a person, you know, loses it. A person utterly collapses and just
those films are before my time. Is Falling Down with Michael Douglas from the 80s in the same milieu?
No. It's
really? Okay.
Falling Down, no, not Falling Down, at least, well, maybe in the same milieu, but not as gritty and getting into the fall itself and the whys and the what the
implications.
Falling Down was more of a almost cathartic porn for people that are fed up with shit. And the guy was just going and blasting people left and right. And only in the last maybe 15 minutes of that film where they started delving into a little bit and you saw a little bit of kind of his interaction with the family and stuff like that, you got a taste of it, at least. This, you know, the Joker, Taxi Driver, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest really hits close to home. A real exploration of a human falling apart. And I mean, just, and that's what the Joker is to a T. And you do not feel good at the end. You sit there. And
you shouldn't.
Yeah, well, right.
That's honest filmmaking. I haven't seen it, but I have to give him that already.
The thing where you're going, at no point, you know, when as you're watching this happen, is there any element that you don't go, well, if I was crazy and this happened to me, yeah, that's, you know, I could see that happening. And it's just like dominoes of those things. There's none that you go, oh, well, now it's just gone off the deep end. No, that can never be. No, it's like each little subtle fall apart for 2 hours, 2.5 hours. And you just, at the end, you're just, Jesus, Harold, you know? And anyway, yeah, so I don't know how we got on the Joker, but Jesus Christ, that's a great movie.
We're just talking flicks, man.
Oh, that's right. What other good movies have I seen?
I've been sitting on this question for 9 months now, so I'm going to ask it because we're kind of right around it. I'm going to ask you right now. Did you catch Bradley Cooper's A Star Is Born remake?
Yes.
That's awesome because I have a lot of thoughts about why that movie was so hyped and why it ultimately failed.
Really? I didn't like
it. Yeah. I don't think a lot of it. Well, okay, walk me through it.
Well, it's a remake. And I didn't
feel of a remake.
Like, yeah, of a remake. I felt like it was more hype about the actors and the actresses than it was the show itself. It didn't bring a new angle to it. I didn't feel. I felt like it was just the same.
It didn't, story. and that's why it doesn't work.
Yeah, you got to do something with it, and I felt like, other than the fact that there's probably a generation that hasn't watched the previous two, and this one was made for them, and so they go in happily and ignorantly, going, "Well, this one's for me. I love this," you know. So I tried to think, okay, well, that's probably why this was
getting it's out. A very brave film. I like the way he directs it. He doesn't hold the audience's hand with the storytelling. He trusts himself, and he trusts Lady Gaga, who, not an actress to this point, to carry this movie in these scenes. Sam Elliott's awesome as his brother.
Yeah.
Chappelle is really good, and his little thing as his buddy. Where this movie falls, well, one of the places it falls apart is it came out in 2018 when we were just getting over a rash of rock stars who had taken their own lives. This movie is tone deaf. Cooper's character takes his life, and it's presented like it's a good thing. And we know better than that now as a society. I know this story is 70 years old now, or whatever the hell the first one came out.
Right.
But it's seen as an act of love that he takes his own life to protect his wife. And that just doesn't work anymore.
Right. I agree.
How do you think the actors did? Do you think it was just hype?
No. Well, I mean, both of them can sing. So that was awesome. All of the acting was perfectly fine. It was just a story that I was like, well, I already know this story. Yeah, you know where this is going. It's not going to end well. And so I was not that enthused with it, just on the whole. Why? Did you have a particular criticism?
No, she's not great, but neither is she bad. And honestly, I think her being okay is actually pretty big deal. Because again, he asked her to carry these scenes with very minimal dialogue. And moreover, I don't know who you cast in that role if you don't go with her. I was impressed.
Yeah.
And Cooper's fine. I mean, I think a lot of guys could have done that. But I thought the direction was cool. I was really well done. I as you said, it was hot to be this everyone gets an Oscar kind of movie, and then it just kind of limped out of there with one kind of token best song.
Yeah. I think it's because people have seen it. At least the ones that do the judging on the Oscars.
I would have thought that would have worked in its favor, but I think the message just doesn't work anymore in 2018.
Yeah. So I do have another movie that I saw that I absolutely love.
Go for it.
Yesterday.
Oh, okay. That's good.
Did you see this?
No, I'm familiar with the concept, though.
Oh, boy. I was really worried. I was like, yeah, the premise looked good. The trailer looked good. And I'm like, usually if it's something like that, I'm going to end up going, eh. And finally got to see it and absolutely loved it. Absolutely loved it. Every part of that movie was just, it just hits a home run. Every bit of it.
Is it primarily a comedy?
No. There are some great comedic moments in it, but it is much more just a good story. Kind of the classic films of the day. You know, it's a unique tale. And boy, did they kill it. They killed it.
That's cool. I'm glad that kind of stuff is still getting made.
I'm surprised. You know, it surprised me. I was like, this is, you don't get a lot of these. And we've gotten a few this year that are like, I can't believe this has gotten made. And it gives me hope that maybe they're starting to venture out and do some things, you know, try not to do just the same old thing. You know, for every one of these, there's a Men in Black.
Well, these companies, Warner Brothers and Disney at this point, are so concerned with the foreign Chinese market, like responding favorably to it, that they don't just make movies anymore.
Oh, Lord, I know. I want to go off on that, but I don't.
It seems like there should be. I mean, I love genre film, obviously, but it seems like there's room for both, and I want both.
Yeah, right. And even mixing them, I honestly.
Yeah, that's fun too.
Yeah, I love that stuff. The Kingsman movies are great.
Okay, I shit on it inadvertently earlier, but Bohemian Rhapsody is actually that's worth seeing.
Oh yeah, I love that. I like. Did you see Rocket Man?
No, I didn't.
Oh, loved it. There's some man on man loving going on in that film with Robb Stark, no less.
Okay, well, I mean, he is gay.
Yeah.
All right.
He is. I just wasn't prepared for that much.
Okay.
I was okay with it. I just wasn't prepared for it.
It was the full McClunky.
Full McClunky. Right in the middle of McClunky. Son of a bitch. It really does work for everything. Have you watched any Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee?
I haven't yet. Should I?
Yes.
Okay.
So you know the premise there, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Now, they're not all killers. But there's some ones in there. It's charming.
That's good. I decided to do, and for my next guest instead of that, and that was boring as hell.
Oh, God. Yes.
That was bad. I was like, David. David, what are you doing?
Yeah, I watched a couple of those and realized it's like, this isn't the kind of format that I enjoy as much as he's taking the part that used to bore me the most from his show. And he's doing that for 2 hours.
His fans swear that's the best part of his routine, though. That's fascinating to me.
Man, some people say that. I am not in that group. Man, I love the absurd shit. That was where I thought
I was always whatever with that. He was a decent interviewer, but he's lost that. I was in tears.
Yeah. Let's see. My wife and I finished Star Trek Discovery. That was good.
Lance.
Well, the second half of it was good. The first half kind of was irritating, but
I'm glad you reminded me. Never mind. But go ahead.
Well, so I'm working my way around to it. So we enjoyed Star Trek Discovery. I am watching The Watchmen. Have you watched any of that yet?
But I don't know who watches The Watchmen, but it is not I.
There you go. You can just take that.
I've heard it's excellent.
Yes. Holy shit. It is set. I won't do too much spoiling, but it is set 30 years after the Watchmen story.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
I had not heard that.
Uh-huh. And oh shit. It is good. It is damn good. And
Alan Moore will be pissed, so I like that.
Well, they got Dave Gibbons on it. So.
Yeah, Dave has never been weird about it like Alan was.
Right. And well, I got to say this, though. If you're going to do something original. You know, Alan Moore, you know, they take it and they bastardize every angle of it in the comics, and those weren't that good. This is original. Yeah, this. Oh,
it's Lindelof and Cuse again, right?
Yeah, and I really can't speak too much without spoiling the fuck out of it for you, and I don't want to do that. So
okay,
but it's,
well, hey, if it's worth preserving, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I get the feeling this is just me, but they are putting the newfound money that they have from not spending on Game of Thrones into the production values of The Watchmen. And it is
so they're not going 50-50 with that and His Dark Materials.
I'm gonna watch it, but I haven't watched His Dark Materials yet.
I haven't yet either.
I'm assuming that and Westworld, but that feeling of, oh, this is done like cinema. This is very well, good camera angles, elegant shots, well done. It is well done. It's not just the story and the
HBO is usually pretty good about that kind of stuff. Even Throne season 8 looked awesome.
Yeah, the
and True Detective season 3 was really well shot as well.
Getting to see the Watchmen universe 30 years later, it's something to behold. But they've gone a different angle with it. You know, the first Watchmen was about, you know, the oncoming nuclear conflict between the Soviet Union and the United States. This delves more, and I'm trying not to spoil too much, but it delves more into the ongoing race war between blacks and whites in America over the last 100 years and what that would look like in the Watchmen universe at this point.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Sure.
It is.
Watchmen was very much of its time.
Yeah, and this is too, and that's why it rings more true to the original Watchmen than all the other stuff that we've gotten in the comics. This is more like, oh, this, you're taking the Watchmen, but you're bringing it forward and you're putting it in its time. That it's good stuff. So that brings me to another show that my wife and I are about to start watching season 2. We watched season 1. We were not fans with episode 1, but then it grew and grew and got better and better over the course of the season, at least in our opinion. I'm interested.
I hope this is your opinion.
The Titans.
It is Titans.
Titans, yes.
Oh, so it does get better. Thank God.
Oh, no, the first episode hurt. The first episode was like,
that was barely an episode.
They can't act.
They can't really write either.
No. Yeah, it's, you've got to give it.
To be fair, that's kind of Akiva Goldsman's brand, though.
Yeah, I got to say, like, the worst experience I ever had was Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. That took 17 to 19 episodes. It was either 17 or 19. I can't remember the number.
I won't watch it on principle because they did it.
It took 17 episodes to get where I could tolerate it. It was finally a good show, but it took 17.
I've heard it's a great show.
It is now, but it took the first 17. I'll never.
Yeah, and that's unconscionable. That's bullshit. Don't do that crap.
Right, exactly. I mean, that's 8.5 hours. Is it an hour show? Well, either way, 18 episodes. Titans evolves much faster, but it's still evolving. So I will say, first and foremost, other than the Joker and a few other.
What I need from you is, what's the first episode you were like, okay, I enjoyed that? What's the number?
Oh, hell. See, it was a year ago. I'm going to say.
Because I don't think I can do one of those. I really don't.
I don't know the number. I can only tell you the character. If you want me to tell you the character, I'll tell it to you. But half of the fun was just going, holy shit. But,
do you have a guess? Like middle, end? What the shit? Okay.
No, there's not that many episodes, right? Aren't there like, how many episodes? There's like 11. So hang on.
Okay.
Episode 6.
Oh, that's a big ask right now with everything coming out, Key.
I understand. Yeah, it's a
and slow I just got build. Disney Plus.
it's a slow build. But when you get that, I can tell you because you'll see the name of the episode when you watch it. It's Jason Todd.
That's the name of the episode?
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's the name of the episode.
Okay.
Now, you know your Star Wars lore, or I'm sorry, Batman lore, right?
I do. Yeah, of course.
Okay. All right. So, yeah. It is a very slow build, but I kind of enjoyed that. Oh, wait a minute. Episode 4 was pretty good, too. I'm looking at
okay.
It. Episode 4 was pretty good. They introduce the Doom Patrol.
Okay. I don't even need good. I need not awful. That first episode is awful.
Oh, yes. It is. But
and it was very Zack Snyder's take on it. Like, hey, we're just going to go super R-rated with it. Isn't that awesome? No, oh, no, Zack. That's not awesome.
My running joke with the entire first season was there is a default requirement, contractual, that Dick Grayson drops a F-bomb somewhere in an episode. And it's every episode, it's wildly, like, bad. It's not like a good F-bomb at the right point. It's like, why did he say fuck there? He didn't need to say fuck there, but it was like, oh, I gotta get my fuck in. Fuck. I challenge you to not watch that show now that you've heard that joke while you start after you've started it, and not think that thought every time, every single time. Wait, where's it gonna be? Where's it gonna? Fuck. There you go. All right, good deal. Happy birthday. Fuck. Okay. Perfect. The first episode, I honestly think that the weakest actor, at least at first, is Dick Grayson. He's the weakest actor at the start, but all the other actors are pretty good, and they bring him up to snuff by about episode 6 or 7.
Okay.
He's still a little stilted.
Yeah, I finally got around to it when MLS came to a close and some time opened up, and I watched it and I was like, how are they high on this? Were they high on it? Did I misunderstand what they were telling me?
No, but if you only watched episode 1,
I'm mad at them.
Have you only watched episode 1?
Yes. I okay. Oh.
Yeah. Episode 1 is nothing but a sniff, and it's a bad sniff at that. You got to stick around. By episode 4, you see that they've got the ability. And by episode 6, now they start using it with their characters.
And then it
picks up. And I say that because episode 4 is where they bring in the Doom Patrol, and it's like, shit, this is really good. Why don't they keep, I hope they keep the Doom Patrol around, because they're doing better with the Doom Patrol than they do with their own toys. But then
I could swear I heard that is in development somewhere.
Oh, no, it's out.
Okay.
So the spinoff.
Bam.
It's already got a spinoff because the Doom Patrol episode I thought was shit hot. I thought it was great. By the end of season 1, I was to the point that I was like, okay. You know, when I saw the first season of Arrow, there were elements of Arrow that I was like, hell yes, this is great. There were also elements of Arrow that were like, oh, this is some formulaic shit. This doesn't have the formulaic shit. It's more like.
Can I defend Arrow season 1 real quick?
Sure.
I thought it did the formulaic stuff really well.
Yeah, that's fair. That's part of the good. It's just, it's still.
I'm sorry, that's too nuanced of a critique for 2019.
Well, only in the sense that since then, they took that exact same formula and had done it ad nauseum on 4 different shows. You know, so it's a.
Oh, at least. Dude, it's a CW. They got a brand, yo.
I know. It's nevertheless, I am going to watch that Crisis.
We are young, we are beautiful, and we are conflicted.
Yeah, and there's a lot of that going on in Titans as well.
It should be. Yeah. I just, well, I wish they would do it better.
Yeah. So yeah, you got to give it a little bit. And I'm not sure that.
Oh.
I'm not sure episode two is going to make you feel any better. But by the time you get to four, yeah, then they start playing.
No, well. I just need to get like one of those dog treats and just bite down on that for, I guess, 2 hours and grind through it.
Hey, have you watched Runaways?
No, on Disney Plus.
Oh, yeah, it's on Disney Plus.
So is DuckTales, but second pro tip of the show. There's no space in Duck and Tales. It's DuckTales. Don't ask me why.
DuckTales failing and frustrated and had to go bite on your doggy treat until
I was so looking forward to life being like a hurricane, and I couldn't find it. It was a bad 5 minutes, man.
Oh, it must have been brutal. Come back and recount it.
I gave you $70, motherfucker.
Oh, shit. I'm trying to think of any other movies.
Well, I have one more I wanted to ask you about specifically.
Yeah.
Because I watched it on the flight back from the ATX. The Crimes of Grindelwald.
I haven't seen it yet.
It's better than the other one. It's not good because David Yates made it, but it is better.
Okay.
It poses an interesting question. So you've seen the trailer, right? The ads and such?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so you know we get young, hot Dumbledore.
Yep.
Okay, so this movie takes place in the past. Prohibition era, I think. Somewhere around there.
Yeah.
And we have hot Jude Law, three-piece suit, very British, very good-looking guy. I would like to remind you in the audience, when next we meet Albus Dumbledore, shit has gone very bad for this man. He looks like he's aged about 7,000 years. Doesn't shave. He's ditched the three-piece suit for his pajamas. His best friends are three fucking 10-year-olds and the goddamn lawnmower. This series asks the question, what the hell happened to this man?
Presumably he got his heart broken.
But we find out he was dating Wizard Hitler, and then he, and then I won't tell you the rest for spoiler, but it does answer it.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
things went bad for your boy Albus, Keyshawn.
I thought that's kind of what the books alluded to. I mean, it didn't get into too much detail, but.
No, he was always a secondary thing, but it was like, yeah, he's like the best wizard of his generation. It's like, then why is he. What the hell happened?
Got his heart broke. I can't believe of all the things you got, you went with the Crimes of Grindelwald.
And I already watched Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, that's fair. But you hadn't seen Rocky.
That's a really enjoyable bad movie.
Yeah, I loved it. I really enjoyed the hell out of that movie.
Yeah, you know what it is? It's not a documentary. It's a musical.
Yes.
That's how you have to think about it.
Yep. That was precisely how I thought about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does its own thing. And I like that. And so there's a host of movies that do that. You know, there are all this kind of a genre of.
Yeah, they're called Walt Disney Picture Classics.
No. There's other musician films, you know, like Great Balls of Fire and Get On Up. And I'm trying to think of some other ones. You know, Bohemian Rhapsody was one of them. Rocket Man's another one of them. Oh,
would you throw Ray in there?
Ray? Yes, absolutely. Ray and Walk the Line is another one. Walk the Line, probably that and one in Ray.
That one is highly dramatized. I just don't think people realize it.
Yeah, but you know, they kind of that's what they do. And then the greatest of all of them was what was it called? Walk Hard.
Well, that's a spoof, isn't it?
Yes, it's a perfect spoof of that. It's like a Mel Brooks version of all of these music genre films, and it nails it to the wall, every bit of it. You know, I'm reflecting back on my life, you know, all of that stuff. It does it to a T, knowingly, and it does it perfectly.
Awesome.
I'm trying to think if there are any other movies that really like hit it home for me, and I can't think of another one. Oh, Into the
Queen was just never going to work well as a docudrama. Yeah. The reality is they got along really well.
Yeah.
I mean, Brian May and the drummer, whose name I always forget, they're still touring.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw them on, what was it?
I think they're in town up here in Seattle, like either last month or this month.
That's badass.
Yeah. Adam Lambert leaves a lot to be desired, but it's cool they're still doing it.
Into the Spider-Verse would be my other film.
Oh, I think you're selling that one short, calling it a musical.
No, Into the Spider-Verse. It wasn't a musical. I'm saying that was my other favorite film of 2019. Actually, I think it came out at the end of 2018.
That's last year, man.
Well, it was like December, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. November, I want to say, but late November.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I saw it at Christmas time, so.
Mm-hmm. No, that was great. It's a great movie.
Yeah. Did you hear they're making a sequel?
I mean, I assume they like money.
Yeah, they announced it, I don't know, a couple weeks back.
Oh, just now?
Yeah.
That was like a fucking foregone conclusion. Yeah. I started to say confusion. I'm like, that's not right.
yeah, man. They announced it a couple weeks back, and I'm ecstatic. I love that shit. I thought that was great.
It was. I'm stunned they went this long without like saying, yeah, we should make more money.
No kidding.
Well, that's Sony for you.
They were arguing over Spider-Man.
Yeah, I guess.
They're not smart people.
They had one good idea.
they can't get their television to cooperate with Plus. I'll tell you that. Fuck you, Sony.
Thank you for mentioning that She-Ra was awesome, by the way.
Yes.
Because it super is.
Yes, it really is. And it is kind of the spiritual child of Voltron, amazingly enough.
It starts off more cutesy and charmy, I would say, but by season four, which I just finished, they start digging deep.
Yep.
I am really excited to meet some Eternians next season.
Yeah, I know.
I think that's on the docket.
I know. I'm just enjoy what boggles my mind is that might be the first thing that my kids have brought to me. And that was awesome.
Not Legendary Defender?
No. You had already told me about Voltron.
Oh, that sounds about right.
That my son and you almost at the same time were both converging on that one. But this is the first one that they were like, you know, my son was She-Ra spectacular. And of course, my first reaction is, you know, I'm thinking back of She-Ra of old. And just like, what? She-Ra? Boy. You don't know what is good and what is bad. Let me tell you. I sat down with him and watched. It just took.
It's so funny.
Yeah. It's great. I can't believe it.
The character choices were all just perfect.
I'm waiting for whatever that weird antisocial grab of it will be, like bronies, that full grown men that love She-Ra. I don't think it's taken root yet, but it's only a matter of time.
And I'm one of them.
No.
Enjoyed that show.
I'm a full grown man that enjoys She-Ra. I'm talking about the ones that do it very, very terribly, like awkwardly. Like they all dress up in She-Ra costumes and call themselves She Men.
The He-Ras? I don't even know what they would call these.
Are the He-Ras or She-Ras? What if we're the ones that just started?
I was prepared to be one of them.
They're going to have a convention and there's going to be the She-Men convention. Everywhere I look, there's She-Men on the walls, there's She-Men on the floor, there's She-Men everywhere.
Best friend squad, maybe? Oh, I can see someone referring a fan group calling themselves that, rather.
No, She-Men.
The She-Men.
Now, I don't know. Is it She-Men? Or do you say it more like semen and go She-Men? Which is worse?
Well, they does have the hyphen in there. I don't know if that matters or not.
Since we're doing a fictional realm of making up with this group of...
And there's no place for grammar here?
There's no place for grammar here. Look, I am 2 years older than
Ariel, who's 25.
That's right. In our fictional world, we've got rules, son. And grammar ain't one of them. They did bronies.
Yeah, but that's because they mistakenly thought that was cool.
But the same people that would think that brony is cool would do She-Men.
You think so? That doesn't really sound cool in any way possible.
I didn't think Brody would either, but they did.
But I could see He-Ra. That's I don't know. So getting in there going, I'm where He-Ra's.
Where He-Ra's?
I mean, it's still terrible, right?
It's terrible, but it's not as terrible as He-Man.
Precisely. That's why I'm saying that. I think that's more likely.
I don't know. I go the opposite way. Remember,
we have. You're like after McClunky. I don't know anything about anything.
We're in a generation of people that are farting their babies out. So anything's on the table. I'm going with She-Man.
Oh, God.
There's your title. She-Man or He-Ra's.
All right, well, I'm going to self-destruct now.
Because remember, Greta. That's it. We're doomed. Initiating myself. God. You know, 20 years ago, that would have become a thing. We would just be riffing on that for the next year and a half.
It's 24 hours ago. I'm convinced that it's not going to be something this year.
Oh,
that's pretty damn funny.
That is pretty damn funny.
John Favreau is a national treasure. All right, man. Anything else before I get out of here and go watch apparently the second episode of Titans? Just gnawing on a bone.
No. You got to watch Star Wars first. Just fast forward to minute like 44 or 54. I can't remember which. I think it's 54. Just zip right along. Yeah, that's one thing Disney Plus needs to fix, though, is that their fast forward isn't quite well controlled.
For the first week, though.
Yeah.
I've chosen to be half glass full with Disney Plus.
I'm with you. I'm right there with you. It's functioning, and you know, even that was a bit of a stretch the first day, but then it all shook out, so I'm enjoying it. No, I think we've done it. We definitely got to the part where I made myself tear up. She-Ra's or She-Man. God damn it. God.
Well, Keyshawn Xavier of Austin, Texas, thank you for being here.
Well, thank you for having me, particularly tolerating my story of my birthday at age
20. It's quite a day. I've been Cyrus Morozovi of Kirkland, Washington. This podcast and previous episodes of Full of Sun and Fury are available at fullofsunandfury.com or via subscription at iTunes. This has been a Great Sword Studios production, copyright 2019. I have spoken.